This morning's reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. Matthew 3, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. John the Baptist prepares the way. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the desert of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt round his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." May God add his blessing to this reading.
Let us pray. Lord, as we continue our Advent journey, as we draw ever closer to the manger, may you draw us closer to you in every way. May your Holy Spirit fall afresh upon each of us in this time, and may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. So last week, we started our Advent journey for 2022. Last week, we were reminded that the word Advent, it means arrival or appearance. And we heard last week how the season of Advent is really a season of two Advents: the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem as a baby, and the glorious future return of Jesus to judge the living and the dead. So the New Testament is a tale of two Advents. And as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, we live in between our Lord's first and second Advent. We also heard that even though we've become quite comfortable with the bare bones of this story, of this time of year, that by nature, the first and second Advents are disruptive and unexpected events. They are both times in which God is doing something new. And last week, we compared the advent of Jesus, both his first and his second one, to the arrival of an unexpected guest. And we heard how many of us, if we received an unexpected guest, we'd be quite flustered, surprised, maybe even a little panicked. Well, another question to consider today, also on the topic of guests, I wonder how each of us feels about receiving a truthful guest. Now, I'm not talking about a guest who is generally honest and trustworthy, Such things seem to be a requisite for being a good guest. Instead, I'm talking about the kind of guest who is brutally and accurately truthful, who speaks words of truth with a capital T, whether we want to hear them or not. For some of us, we might admire and welcome such a person. It might be a breath of fresh air. For others of us, such a person might make us blush and cringe and want to hide behind the settee. But today, in today's reading from Matthew, I think we encounter such a truthful guest in John the Baptist. From start to finish, he is a truthful guest and companion in our Advent journey. And we heard this passage a few moments ago, and it comes off as quite a dramatic scene. We're told that John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he," Matthew says, "who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Matthew goes on to say that John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt about his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Now, I think there are several reasons why John the Baptist attracted such large crowds, apart from his attire and his unconventional diet. I think one of the main reasons why he drew such a crowd was it had been several hundred years since God last sent a prophet to speak to his people. And several hundred years is a long time to wait for a fresh word from God. And in the time in between, before John's arrival, many people we know had attempted to claim the mantle of prophecy, to speak for God, but those attempts were short-lived, or they never gained any real traction in the first place. When it comes to prophecy, as we say, the proof is in the pudding. You know it when you see it. And the Jewish people were hungry for a new and fresh word from God. John the Baptist, quite simply, was different. He seemed to tick all of the prophetic boxes. And we need to remember that when he appeared on the scene, up and running up to that time, a great portion of the Jewish leadership tried to live as peaceably as possible with the occupying Roman army. They did this, we assume, in good intent to preserve the peace and safety of their people under difficult circumstances. But John the Baptist was not a diplomat. He did not seek to curry favor. He did not mince his words, regardless of who came out to the Jordan River. John the Baptist, he told the truth. And what truth did John the Baptist proclaim? It can be summed up, I think, in one word: repent. Repent, he said, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, back when I was in seminary, I took several courses on communication, on public speaking, preaching. And over again, I had it drilled into my head that as a preacher, you have to know your context. You have so that you can make the gospel understandable to those who hear you. You have to know the lives and the stories of the people in the pews so that your presentation, your sermons, can speak directly into what people are facing in their lives. Make it grip, make it meaningful. This is generally good advice. There's no value in using language that people won't understand. That'd be like me here in Scotland talking about a seventh inning stretch. That's baseball. Or in America, making a reference to cricket. Both, I think, would not be well understood. So we have to use language that people understand to communicate God's truth. All good. And in this passage, and I think this is quite remarkable, John the Baptist both embraces and ignores this advice. On the one hand, there's no doubt that those who heard him would understand his call, repent. For repentance was and is a common practice in Judaism. And I think everyone who heard John had a good sense of what the word meant. But on the other hand, John the Baptist was completely indiscriminate in preaching his message. For him, it did not matter who was in the proverbial pews. He had the same message for everyone. Repent, he said. He didn't select certain people out of the audience to repent out of the congregation. It was a call to everyone to repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. And maybe it's just me, but I struggle to think of anyone who enjoys being told to repent. At the very least, being told to repent implies that our relationship with God is something less than perfect. Being told to repent implies an uncomfortable truth that we are sinners, very much in need of God's forgiveness and transforming grace. This call to repentance, I think, exposes the truth of our situation. And what is the truth of our situation? Well, if we listen to the Baptist, if we take his words to heart, the truth is that while we still draw breath, while we're still alive, we all have ways in which our lives need to be redeemed. In other words, John the Baptist and his call to repentance, it reminds us that whether we admit it or not, we are all works in progress. And whether we are 1 year old or 121 years old, God is calling each of us to repent, to literally, repent literally means to turn around, to cast ourselves on the mercy of God and to live into the power of the Holy Spirit and follow in the Jesus way. As I said before in our Advent journey, John the Baptist is a truthful guest. He's truthful because he reminds us of the need to repent, to have the whole of our lives shaped and redeemed by Jesus Christ. This is true for every single believer. When I was studying at university, I had the privilege of learning scripture and Christian theology from Dr. Roger Moorling, who was and still is one of the godliest people I have ever known. My words can't convey fully the impact that Roger has had on my life and on my faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes to following in the Jesus way, Roger really follows. In his younger years, he was a missionary and a Bible translator for the Conway people who live in Nigeria and Cameroon. He married a wonderful and godly woman named Dottie, and together they raised two children. Along with this, he taught Bible and theology at Whitworth University for almost 40 years. And in his retirement years, he continued to work on the Old and New Testament translations into the Conway language to further spread the word of God. And every day, even now, Roger takes time to read and to pray scripture. And one time, I heard the story secondhand, but Roger was asked, "Why do you read scripture every single day? Haven't you mastered it yet, Roger?" After hearing this question, Roger thought for a moment and he replied, "It hasn't mastered me yet." Friends, we all have ways in which our lives need to be redeemed. This Advent, we all need to hear, believe, and live into John the Baptist's call to repent. And the ways in which we do this will be as different as our fingerprints. We all have different stories, but we all have the same goal: right relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we continue our Advent journey, as we continue to actively wait and prepare for the birth of the Savior, may we hear and obey John the Baptist's call to repent. May we receive this message with gratitude and with joy, and hearing it, believing it, living into it, may each of us prepare the way for the Lord in our lives. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.